In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We're glad that everyone is here with us this morning as we continue to make our way into spring and continue through the journey of Lent. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find on the inside aisle and share any information that you would like us to have, particularly if you would like to be added to our newsletter or Providence Publicist about weekly notifications about what's happening in the life of this congregation. And we would love to be able to contact you if you are with us and would like to be so connected into the life of this congregation. Please take note of the calendar of announcements. A number of things are kind of shifting in and out in these days, so please take note of the calendar, and usually the website is the most up-to-date information for calendar information that you will see. TNT, Tuesday Nights Together, continues this week. It's our third week together as we gather in fellowship at 6 o'clock with this week's theme, Breakfast for Dinner. So be creative and bring breakfast for dinner. Join us at 6 and classes at 7 o'clock, the lectionary Bible study led by Pastor B for the upcoming sermon texts that are being preached, and the continuing conversations about stewardship in all areas of our life will be led this week by Brooke Moles, our treasurer. The Outreach Steering Committee is meeting tomorrow night to chart some forward, including towards what we will be doing this summer. And if you are interested in outreach efforts of this congregation, you are most welcome to come and see what we are about at 7 o'clock tomorrow in the Hope Room. You can also talk to Jenny Surgner, who I saw come in somewhere. There she is in green. You can talk to Jenny if you have any questions about it, or see the outreach bulletin board to get an idea of what's happening. One of the things that is happening is on Saturday morning at 10:30, we will be hosting again the monthly meeting of the Rhode Island Organizing Project, which is working on senior independence issues. And Murray Blackadar can give you more information about the efforts to continue to advocate for support for those services, and particularly in the interesting developments of our Rhode Island political situation in these days. So it promises to be a very interesting meeting, and if you have questions, you can talk to Murray about that. We did send out this week an invitation for all of us to participate and join in celebrating with the Mucciari family, a pool party on April 12th, and the opportunity to join together and celebrate with them at the Pawtucket YMCA. If you're planning to be part of that, families particularly are invited to come and celebrate. Please see either Mary Kinua or Janet Cago with your interest and willingness to be involved. Are there any other announcements this morning that we need to make note of? Okay. Let us join then together in the responsive call to worship. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. We come into his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. The Lord is a great God. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We will not harden our hearts nor test our God. We come to worship and praise our God. Let us sing together our opening hymn. Thank you. If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. We do the things that we ought not to do, and we do not do the things that God wants of us. And this is sin. And so we come to confess, first in silence and worship together, then praying together. Let us pray. Continuing in prayer. Do not let us harden our hearts, God, to the sound of your voice. We confess that we don't listen to the word that you send. You give us Jesus, the word of life in our midst. We confess our delay in obeying direction he brings. You promise the Holy Spirit, a source of counsel and power. We confess into ignoring such guidance. We do not respond. Forgive us our sin and help us through Christ to enter the rest you have promised. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing together our song of confession, How Blessed Are Those, number 184 in verse 4. This is the promise that we have received in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came not that the world should be condemned, but that the world should be saved through him. This is good news. Let us rejoice and live as if we believe it. Amen. Thank you.
It's now the time at which we share joys and concerns with our church family. If there's anybody who would like to share a joy or concern, I will bring you the microphone.
Continued prayers for Walter.
Continued prayers for Walter from Judy.
All of us in the Cooper family are, going to get emotional. we are praising God that Keith walked away yesterday from a very horrific car accident. And I'm going to tell you the details just so you know what an amazing thing it is that he walked out of the ER. He was going to Stop and Shop. He was on Branch Ave, right where the 95 on-ramp and off-ramp are. And he was stopped because of traffic. And some kids in a stolen car came up at a very high rate of speed off the off-ramp and rammed him. When he stopped moving, he had crossed the median. He was facing the opposite way. And he was about 30 or 40 feet before the on-ramp to 95. So I think we're all kind of in shock. He's not here, and the girls aren't here. He's pretty achy. But again, he walked out of the ER. So we're praising God for that. Kathy gets home this afternoon from her friend's mom's funeral. And so we also ask prayer for just all the logistics now and the red tape and the paperwork. He left in an ambulance and they told him that they thought the car was probably totaled. So that's kind of all he knows. So thank you for your prayers.
I'd like to ask prayers for my friend Jen, who they're trying to have kids, and she's having some fertility issues, so she's going in for some testing this week, which she's nervous about. And prayers for my aunt and uncle, who are separated, and so just prayers for discernment in their marriage and for their kids.
I have a joy. My friend Flo was released from the hospital this past Friday. She's been there since January, so she was very, very happy to be released. The doctor thought her condition had improved enough for her to go home, so praise God.
I have a prayer request for my brother. His name is Jim Gray. He lives in Missouri, and he's been diagnosed with late-stage leukemia. He is doing a trial drug this week, and so I just love prayers for him. Thank you.
I'd like to have prayers for a young child. He's 3 years old, and he is a son of a member of the faculty at Classical. He has leukemia. They tried very hard to have him. And so I just ask for prayers for healing.
What's the name?
Michael. 3-year-old child by the name of Michael.
Michael.
Prayers for Michael.
Prayers for my sister Bobby, who had surgery on her feet last week, so that thankfully it went well. But she's got a long healing process.
I'd like to thank you for your prayers. My daughter-in-law's biopsy came back negative. But I'd like you to pray for family relationships in my family. Thank you.
Today's my birthday.
Yay!
couple more joys to report. Rolf is expecting his 5th grandchild in September. And a joy, too, that hopefully next Sunday morning, Zach Sharp will be back from a visit in Liberia for a very, almost 2 weeks, right? Or close to 2 weeks. So we thank God for that and for the work that he's doing in that country. Let us pray. You know, O God, the deepest needs of our world, the prayers of the deepest places of our hearts, spoken and unspoken. As a new season of spring dawns, may this be a spring of new life for all your people, to live in safety, justice, and places of peace in and around our world. We pray for wisdom for those who lead near and far. Help us, O God, to be ever thankful and to see the blessings of our lives, for life can change in a moment, as we have seen in days recent. We give thanks this day for joys, for Lucy's 5th birthday today, for Rolf. We pray for the Cooper family in the miracle of Keith's walking away from this accident, that you would be and surround them together, particularly as they reunite with Kathy in this week, with all of the details around this, with the shock. We give thanks for your healing power with Flo, enabling her to come home, and with Hannah, even in the midst of challenging family situations. We pray for those, O God, this day who are in need of healing of body, mind, and spirit, for Walter, for Cheryl's brother Jim, for Michael, for Bobby, for Melinda. We pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, made more acute in the change of seasons or as anniversaries approach. We pray for Nicholas in this time of transition as Terry's anniversary of death approaches. In this holy season, O God, let us draw ever closer to you to experience anew the power of Lent in focused devotion, in attention to those things most important, in reorienting our lives to walk with you in worship, in service, in learning, in care for one another. Help us ever to be the disciples that you envision in community and in all of our relationships. We pray for efforts in our wider community to bring life to your people, with those struggling with immigration issues, homelessness, unemployment, for our teachers to lead with wisdom and grace for the good of all their students. We pray for all those who are in transition in these days, seeking jobs, burdened by responsibilities. We pray for Jennifer Surgner's friend Jen in this time and the discernment for her aunt and uncle and their family. We pray for the work of our PNC, our pastor nominating committee, discerning new pastoral leadership, and for our confirmation classes, they near their April retreat and decisions about how they as individuals will live their faith moving forward. We give thanks for leadership which guides our church school students in all ages and all places. Make us ever mindful, O God, of your call on our lives, a call to the fullness of life for all your people. In your power, let us go forth and live in and through Jesus Christ, who teaches us to pray this day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It's time for the children.
Good morning, everybody. I have two signs here. I need some help. Keep out and welcome. Where do you suppose you would see signs that say keep out? Oh, yeah, a construction site? Where else? Yeah, somebody might be angry at home and have a keep out sign on their room. What else? That's true, yeah. Don't want anybody to come in. Yes. Only particular people are allowed in. You're like, only the doctors are allowed in a particular place, and so you're supposed to keep out. What else? You lock the door very tightly, and you're hoping they'll keep out, right? You may not have a sign, but you're hoping your locks keep them out, right? Yeah. Keep out. Yeah. There's a sign out where I live that says, keep out. It means the dogs. They don't want the dogs in their yard. Yeah. That's right. Okay, now where would you see a welcome sign? Maybe in front of a museum that's open that day? That's right. Somebody comes home, you put a welcome sign up. In front of your front door, yeah, a welcome mat. You see those sometimes? Yes. Sometimes you see it on a bulletin, you're right. We welcome everybody who comes to visit. You say welcome, welcome home. Welcome means we really want you here, right? Yeah, and this means we don't want you here very much, right? That's right. That's right. Sometimes the keep out signs are really important because they keep people safe, right? Yeah, there's construction. If there's a big hole in the ground that somebody might fall into, you want to have a keep out sign. Things like that, yes. What do you recognize about the word welcome? Well and come, right? Yes, that's right. If we were going to put a sign on the front of our church, which of those signs would we put?
Welcome.
Good for you. We'd want to put welcome, wouldn't we? Yeah. No, we don't want to put keep out. Well, you can get to go in there sometimes, don't you? Yeah. When you're invited. Yeah. No.
I've never been in there before.
You haven't? Well, maybe we'll have to do a tour of the church so you can see what's in there. So we'll have a welcome sign someday. How do you show people that they are welcome when they come to church? How do you show them that they're welcome? By greeting them, yes. What do you say when you greet somebody? Hi, that's a good one. Yeah. Can you say... What else?
When is your birthday? You can
Sometimes, yes, if they have a party or whatever. How would we say welcome here at church? You could say good morning in the church in the morning, yes. What other ideas? Wave? Yeah, wave. Yeah, okay. So what we want to show everybody in church is that they are welcome. We can smile at them. We can say hi. Sometimes you give each other hugs to say welcome. So good to see you. Or a handshake. Handshakes are always good. They're always safe to do. Sisters shake and hug both, don't they? Okay, so when we're at church, we want everybody to know they are welcome here, right? Okay, so let's always remember that. When we see people coming to church, they're strangers or if they're people we know, always let's say, hi, we're glad to have you here. Welcome. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for welcoming us in your house. Help us always to show other people that they too are welcome to come here and be with us and be with you. Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us the grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So now is the time in our service that we read from the Old Testament. And that is in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. And you can follow along either in the projection or in the Pew Bibles on page 61, or if you're reading from a large print Bible on page 79. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massa and Meribah because of the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And the New Testament lesson can be found in John chapter 4, verses 5 through 30 and 39 through 42 on your Pew Bible, page 89 and 115 in your large print and projected. So we came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw the water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, asked a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with the woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. And she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for what we have heard ourselves, and we know this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
This has been one of those weeks when I have written two sermons at least. So you can have multiple choice. You want one, two, or maybe three. This is seemingly a fairly direct, straightforward text. Jesus meets the woman at the well. He's Jewish, obviously. She picks up on that right away. And she's a Samaritan. Well, Samaritans and Jews don't even hardly talk. What in the world is Jesus doing in Samaria? He's on a journey between Judea and Galilee, and he could easily have walked a little further and missed Samaria. But he didn't. So I would say Jesus purposefully walked through Samaria, perhaps just for such an encounter as the one we read about. The Samaritans were everything that the Jews hated. I know that's a strong word, but they were absolutely everything the Jews hated. The Samaritans had intermarried with the people in the region. They share a common heritage. Jacob's well is mentioned there. Sounds familiar, should be in common. And yet, the Samaritans only paid attention to the first five books of the scripture, the Pentateuch. And all of their guidelines for living came from just that much of the scripture. They didn't pay any attention to the wisdom literature, which would include the Psalms, which would include Proverbs. And they did not pay any attention to the prophets, you know, like Jeremiah and Isaiah. They also did not worship in Jerusalem at the synagogue there or the temple there. And so, there is this animosity between the two groups. Now, one of the reasons that I read somewhere, and I'm sorry I can't give you the source, that the Samaritans did not worship in Jerusalem was they were not allowed to help to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem after the Israelites came back from captivity. I read something different about every source that I read this week about the animosity between Samaritans and Jews. Kind of like that story I heard when I was growing up between the animosity between the Hatfields and the McCoys in the mountains. Nobody really could tell you for sure why they hated each other, but they hated each other. Not any really good, sound reason. It had been lost in history. And that seems to be the case between the Samaritans and the Jews. And so when Jesus comes to the well and asks the woman for a drink, she says, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" You know, when we read scripture, we just read it. But what about it? What if this woman had a little attitude about it? You know? Who's he thinking he's going to ask her for a drink of water? And it tells us parenthetically, Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. That's because they do not have the same purity laws. So if Jesus drinks something out of a vessel that a Samaritan handled, he will become impure. Does Jesus care? No. But he's also sitting there in the noonday sun. I imagine he's pretty thirsty. He has no bucket. He has no way of drawing water out of this very deep well. But it's interesting. Men were not supposed to speak with women. According to some of the rabbis, they were not even supposed to speak to their own wife in public. And yet here Jesus is speaking not only to a Samaritan, but also to a woman. And he continues to pursue a discussion with her. He doesn't just say, "Give me the water," and then leaves her off. that continue to talk. And he talks about this living water. If she knew who he was, he would be giving her living water. Now, for a Jew or a Samaritan, either one, that living water would be special. That means there's flowing water. It could be a stream. It could be an artesian well. And it would mean that that water is pure. And if in one of the baths that they use for purification, the Jews, if there was actually flowing water in there, they considered it a better purification. So this running water, this living water, sounds really good to the Samaritan woman. She'd like some of that. It would be pure, and she wouldn't have to keep coming to this darn well all the time. It would save her a lot of work. So she's trying to get her head around this whole idea of this living water that this man is talking to her about. And then he changes the subject on her. Go tell your husband. Well, she's a nice, straightforward woman. Honest. I don't have one.
I know. You've had five.
We can get into all sorts of speculation about what happened or what those five husbands might represent, but it seems to me that it really doesn't matter to Jesus. She had five husbands, and this is a way that he can say to her, I know you've had five husbands, and it gives her the knowledge that this man is somebody special. She says, a prophet. And yet, Jesus continues to let this conversation evolve. Because now she brings up the subject, well, we worship in different places. And Jesus basically says, in God's realm, that's not going to matter. It's not going to matter where we worship. We'll worship in spirit and in truth. And then finally, she talks about the Messiah, and the only Messiah that she would have heard about from those first five books of the Bible are one that Moses says will come after him, who will be a great prophet. And yet she raises the subject, the possibility of the Messiah. Jesus seems to enjoy engaging with this woman, and if you'll remember the conversation he had with Nicodemus, he got a little irritated with Nicodemus. He was a teacher in the church, he should have known better. But the Samaritan woman questions, explores with him, and Jesus seems to meet her one-on-one, face-to-face, in a very unique exchange. It's almost as if he appreciates her naivete and her dedication to her faith. He doesn't challenge her and say, oh, you're wrong to believe this. No, he accepts her where she is, believing what she does. He does not judge her in any way. He accepts her. And this is quite remarkable because the Samaritans are hated by the Jews. Jesus breaks down barriers. Jesus does not raise barriers. Jesus breaks them down. If you want the living water, you may have the living water. I will give you eternal life. Just believe in me. The woman is so excited by the possibility that this man really could be the Messiah. It's not as clear as it says it in here. In this translation, it says, I am he, the one speaking to you. In the actual Greek, it just says, I am the one speaking to you. Doesn't help a whole lot. But she makes that interesting leap. He could be the Messiah. And she's so excited, she leaves her jar there and runs to the village to tell the people. And meanwhile, the disciples are sitting there going,
He's been talking to a woman. Mm. He's been talking to a Samaritan. Mm.
And the Samaritans believe her. And they come out and they invite Jesus to stay. And he stays 2 days with those dreadful Samaritans. And they say, he is the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. You didn't put any conditions on it. You don't have to believe this, 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 this. You just have to believe in Jesus. That wellspring of eternal life who will nourish you from this time on and forever, and you will never thirst again. How many times do we put conditions on people? They don't believe like we do, therefore, they're not a part of us. I've never seen anything in Scripture that talks about denominations. Have you? I've never seen anything in Scripture that Jesus says that in order to be saved, you have to believe this, 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 and this. There's no orthodoxy in what Jesus shares with people. What Jesus shares with people is love and believe in me. And that's what's so important about this story. You put in the place of Samaritan any group of people you might dislike intensely, because we wouldn't hate anybody. We're good Christians, right? Put in there, instead of Samaritan, any group of people you fear, any group of people you believe are wrong in the way they live their lives. And think about it. If Jesus is the Savior of the world, what would he say to those people that you don't like? What would he say to those people that you don't like their lifestyle? Would he be like the pastor who looked at me and said, because you're divorced, you're a failure? Would he deny anybody the loving embrace of the church? Would he deny anyone, for any reason, a full, loving life in any lifestyle? Jesus, the Savior of the world, what does he mean to each of us? Savior of the world. Let us pray. O Lord, help us to see the world through the eyes of Jesus. Eyes that love, that do not condemn or judge. Eyes that accept. Eyes that give life. Full life. Eternal life. Amen.
Please rise and join me in the affirmation of faith from the Confession of 1967. In Jesus Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Jesus Christ is God with man. He is the eternal Son of the Father, who became man and lived among us to fulfill the work of reconciliation. He is present in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue and complete his mission. This work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the foundation of all confessional statements about God, man, and the world. Therefore, the church calls men and women to be reconciled to God and one another. Amen.
I would like to invite Judy Kawamoto, who is the chair of the Personnel Committee, to come forward for a minute for mission.
So in case you're wondering what's going on up here, so I completely forgot I was going to be giving the moment for mission today. I'm going to just confess that right now. So I just said, now what exactly was I going to talk about? So I don't have any notes with me. So we're going to delay that announcement until probably next week. Sorry about that. Completely my bad. My bad.
Okay, now is the time in our worship that we show our gratitude to God by presenting our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you this day for all the gifts you bestow on us. We are so fortunate to be able to return a portion of these gifts and ask your blessing that they are used to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we continue our journey through Lent, contemplate, who do you say Jesus is? And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.